Welcome back to Becoming Next on Scene, everybody. I am so honored with the amazing feedback I got from the latest podcast I did on my own with how to show up as your most authentic self, despite the competition that's out there. That was so freaking awesome. So thank you so much for the feedback. My next podcast is going to be all about where should you invest your money when it comes to marketing. Because there are so many different avenues and so many places to be and so many things to do. But where do you put your money and time into? So I am really excited to talk about that with you. But in the meantime, today I am so excited to have a really inspiring, awesome guest on the line. And she is one amazing plant-based, vegan, gluten-free chef, self-taught, now has a cookbook out, just launched it. So excited for her. And it includes essential oils. So cool. I know. So exciting. So excited to have this amazing chef on the line. Before we get into our exciting podcast, I have to read my fabulous quote and words of wisdom I want to share with you today. And I don't know about you guys, but do you find inspirational quotes? How do you find them? When I'm looking for quotes, I used to go to Pinterest. And now my latest thing is I literally search in my Instagram feed, like just in the search feed, and I usually see like which one comes up first, and that's kind of how I decide what I'm gonna read. If it stands out to me, that's what I'm picking to read. So, quote of the day: today is your lucky day. There is no coincidence. Your life is about to change and huge blessings are near. So exciting to share that, because drum roll, this coming weekend I am going to Mohegan Sun and I have the fabulous opportunity to interview some incredible chefs doing amazing things across the country, across the globe. So I am really excited to feature them in the magazine that will be out this spring/summer. But if you do want more information, it is the Mohegan Sun Wine and Food Festival. So Jackie and Next on Scene will be all up in there doing some coverage and hopefully getting interviews with some amazing chefs. But regardless, definitely stay up to date on all my social media channels for all the latest updates at Jackie Zook, Z-U-K, and Next on Scene. So excited to share that with you. So inspiring that quote really spoke to me. I hope it speaks to you, and believe it, because when you believe it, it becomes reality. In whether it's ways you expect it or ways you don't, it always works itself out. So that's my inspiration for today. And now on to my amazing guest podcast, the amazing chef Lauren D'Agostino.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Becoming Next on Scene. I am so excited to have an incredible person on the line today. Not person, and it's a very talented chef. Chef Lauren D'Agostino, private plant-based vegan chef and author of the newly released plant-based vegan gluten-free cooking with essential oils. Lauren, congratulations on your new venture. Welcome to Becoming Next on Scene podcast. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm so great. It's so awesome to be here with you.
Oh my God, so excited for you. And congrats on your new venture. I just ordered, like I said earlier, your new glossy book. So I am so excited to get that in the mail. So tell us, you know, all about how you fell into the world of cooking and food. What inspired the inspiration behind falling into that world?
Yeah, so I have always been interested in cooking from a very, very young age. You know, I still have my teeny tiny aprons that I wore as a kid, and my parents would let me play with bags of flour and empty pots and pans. And I grew up really with a love of baking. So when I became of the age, you know, to go through a formal training program, I actually started in pastry and baking from Le Cordon Bleu. And as much as I loved it, I started to feel guilty about the amount of sugar that I was feeding people, just the lack of health, you know, as beautiful as some of the pastries were, as much as I loved the artistry of, say, cake design, I really started to become aware of really how I was contributing to people's diets, and it the guilt kind of wore on me.
Sure, right.
Yeah. So partially through, you know, my own curiosity in college, and then kind of my own discovery of how all of those sugar overdoses made me feel, I started to just turn to plants. I was working with Whole Foods Market at the time, and it really helped to open my eyes to a healthier side of life. And so I really embraced a transition to a plant-based diet, and I took my time. It took maybe 3 or 4 months to go from sugar addict to plant-based enthusiast. But I did it, and I haven't looked back. And honestly, it's been really a pivotal moment in my life of really discovering that plant-based food can be so delicious, and creating it can be so fun. And I just love the vibrant colors and the amazing flavors, and even now the textures and all of those things that I've really come to appreciate because I've been able to remove some of those other things that we often reach to for comfort or out of habit, or, you know, for crunch or creamy sweetness or cheesy tang or whatever. I have a healthier version now, and it's like the coolest thing in the world now that I get to share it with people.
Right. And I love too. We're going to talk more depth about the awesome recipes you're going to be sharing in a new cookbook with some teasers, because I am all about essential oils. So I am psyched that you're like incorporating
yes.
your cookbook. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
So, when you started to transition into this new way of eating and even, you know, cooking for other people, what was the first dish you ever made?
Yeah. So when I was learning how to cook in this way, I actually had started to work at this juice bar and cafe in Orlando where I was living, just outside of Orlando. And they taught me how to make all different kinds of hummus. And so we made black bean hummus. We made like a chickpea chicken kind of salad. They made a great Thai hummus. And I was just so impressed by the versatility of hummus. I mean, for me now, it's really its own food group. People ask where the protein comes right. from. And I say like,
that's my question. That's definitely one of my
questions. Yeah. So I eat a lot of hummus, truly. And they're so easy, and you can put them in a sandwich, on toast, on a salad, just eat them out of the container with, you know, with a fork. And those are some of the recipes that I really love to share with people, because they're so easy, they're cheap, they're familiar, the flavors, you know, that are present in those dishes. And now almost all of my hummus recipes are infused with some kind of essential oil. If I'm not making original hummus or something, you know, it really elevates the flavor in a way that can be a little challenging with some things, like totally. Like using fresh ginger, for example, or lemongrass, or, you know, running out of cilantro or different things like that. So, so the hummus kind of sticks out as something. But back when I was a kid, I remember, I think maybe the first thing that I ever made was a cake in the shape of a train for my mom's birthday, which is so funny because she doesn't even really like trains, I don't think. But I remember my dad and I, it was like a little art project, you know, that we were like making this cake. And so that was super cool. So then that, I think, kind of came back around later on in life.
That's so awesome. Oh my God. Talk about creativity since a young age. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, it was a great artistic expression. And then to just be able to serve and show love in that way, you know, in high school, as all my friends were graduating, I made these cookie cakes. They're like kind of a famous thing for the people who know me, that I used to do and really loved doing. And so every one of my friends had their own cookie cake, you know, the size of like a medium pizza with their new college emblem or logo. Yeah.
Oh my God, so funny. Okay, so out of all the foods that you eat, I'm throwing a question at you.
Yeah.
What is your favorite plant-based food?
It's so hard to pick a favorite, but I'm going to go with vegan cheese.
Oh my God, share more information on this. Yeah. What vegan cheese?
Yeah, so many people think a vegan diet doesn't include cheese or that the cheese is disgusting. And some of the ones that you can find on the supermarket shelves do not measure up to a traditional experience of cheese as hard as they try. Some of them just are not very good, but you can make your own vegan cheese, which I've kind of been getting into, and it's been super fun. Or there are a great number of brands that you can find in most supermarkets now that are fantastic. So my cheeses are mostly cashew or almond based. They incorporate some kind of bacteria, you know, like a healthy probiotic type of a bacteria that helps to give it that tang. And then I'll dehydrate them for a little while to get them to age. I'll add things like activated charcoal or blue spirulina. Aquafaba is another ingredient I like to add to the cheese.
What is that, can I ask?
It's the liquid from the chickpea can. So instead of pissing that down the drain,
fun fact of the day, my friends.
Yeah, so vegan cheese is for sure something I love to make and just kind of experiment with. And then something I love to share with people too. They always are impressed with how good it can be. And then you still get that same creamy, tangy, cheesy kind of experience, but you might not feel the stomach upset, or you don't get the outbreaks on your face, or you know, a number of other things, and it's still very satisfying and delicious and fun to still gather around a cheese board. You know, like, I love a good cheese board. Mine just happens to be
same here. Cheese boards are my favorite. I have to agree. Oh my God, you're teaching me such cool, fun facts. I'm sure my audience is like, wow, this is so interesting. Who would have ever thought you use cashews and almonds to make cheese?
Yeah.
So cool. So have you done a lot of experimenting? Like, how did you even like teach yourself these things?
Yeah. So I have gotten very good by way of a couple of projects I've worked on lately. Very good at looking at a recipe and determining if it will accurately replicate whatever I'm trying to prepare in a healthier way. So for example, with a cafe that I helped to open as the chef, it was really kind of a consulting relationship I ended up having with the owner. And I must have tried like 6 or 8 different vanilla cupcake recipes. Her cafe is also gluten-free, so we had to take that into account. So vegan and gluten-free can sometimes be a very tricky combination, especially when baking. And then also we weren't using any refined sugar, so we were using coconut sugar or maple syrup, and then different alternative flours. So I tried a number of different recipes, and then we finally landed on some that really delivered an outstanding experience for what you would think of in a traditional cupcake. So that was a lot of fun. So I like to see what other people put out there. There's so many awesome and very dedicated and very talented recipe bloggers, especially in the plant-based or the allergen, you know, the allergen restricted kind of world. Mm-hmm. So it's super fun kind of to see what they're putting out there, and then to go test them and to see if that's something that I want to bring to the audience that I serve, to really maintain a menu and what will be another future cookbook. But of all of those traditional dishes that people love but think that they might miss out on if they adapt a more plant-based or a vegan diet, I'm all about, you know, enticing people by what foods are familiar and then just inviting them to this delicious plant-based party because they're so excited about the flavors that they'll eat, not because they're scared of, you know, of what they learned about factory farming, or they're coming to it because they're confused. I want people to really be excited. And so the way to do that is to share these recipes that are familiar. Yeah.
And you're the creator. So like, that's what's even more special. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. And I really love how interesting it was when you were talking about, like, you even helped open a cafe with like recipes and stuff. That is freaking awesome. like way for like a chef to really build out a resume. That's like amazing.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I have another place that I will be consulting with coming up. I don't want to share too many details yet, as we're still kind of figuring out what the relationship and kind of the capacity of work will be like. But there are so many people who are gravitating to this lifestyle, and I think it's amazing that a lot of people are considering opening a business, you know, offering their community a place that feels good. It feels like a traditional dining experience, but that it serves really great plant-based and healthy, vibrant foods. I think we need more of those.
How did you even think about incorporating essential oils into food? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I knew that I wanted to use essential oils several years ago when I was when I was transitioning from the diet that I was eating, which was mostly sugar-based, if I'm being honest, to a more plant-based one. And I said, I know essential oils are meant to be part of this journey. I want them to be part of my natural health care. I just didn't know enough about them. So I ordered some online, and I kept one bottle just because it's so striking, the difference to now the pure oils that I purchased through doTERRA and the ones that I share with doTERRA. But so I came to them a long time ago, but didn't really know what I was doing. And so an opportunity to learn more about doTERRA and to incorporate them a little bit more seriously into my routine came about a couple of years ago. And as soon as I learned about the company and the heart-centered mission, I just fell completely in love. It reminded me a lot about the things that I loved about Whole Foods Market, with the philanthropy and giving back and really just being a business about a great experience from, you know, essential oil production, the people on the other side of the bottle, and then to the end user, and really empowering families to take care of their health naturally. So that was a big turning point again, just in learning about the different purity levels of essential oils, and that not all of them are created equally, and that because it's not a regulated industry and they're so trendy, there is a number of companies producing essential oils synthetically, ones that just don't talk to our human system in the same way. So really, when you buy an essential oil, you want it to be pure and you want it to be potent, and it should be one that you can ingest into your body because it should be 100% pure. So as I was learning more about that, I learned that you could ingest them internally. And so I said, I bet you could cook with them. And sure enough, you can. And when I set out to find recipes that fit my plant-based vegan lifestyle, I couldn't find hardly any or any recipes that I could use just as they were. I had to tweak a lot of them. And so I said, wait a second, I should start compiling these recipes into a book, because no such book exists. And so then it was kind of born from there out of necessity for myself, really, and as an amazing way to share the flavors that now I have such convenient access to all the time. I mean, it's difficult, for example, to find fresh lemongrass most of the time, but by using lemongrass essential oil, I can add such great Thai or, you know, just overall Asian flavor, Indian flavor to my dishes. And it's one of my most used essential oils. Same thing with ginger. Fresh ginger is such a pain, right? Peeling around all those knobs, and then it clogs the juicer and kind of shrivels to nothing in your fridge if you don't use the whole thing right away. So using the ginger essential oil again, like it's just been such a game changer for my cooking and for my health in general.
It's so freaking cool. It really is. And honestly, you justify now, like your book is really going to justify that people can cook with it. Cause I never knew that. I knew you could take it, you know, like under your tongue or whatever. And I didn't know the dosage amount, but now I'm like so fascinated by all of this.
Yeah. And as long as people understand that essential oils are created differently and that not all brands are safe for internal consumption, you just will want to check with, you know, whoever the producer of your particular essential oils, you want to double check that they're of a quality that can be ingested. And then also you want to make sure that the essential oil can be ingested by the body. So for example, cedarwood or sandalwood essential oil are not oils that you would normally consume in a human diet, right? We wouldn't just go eat a tree. So
Right.
So you wouldn't want to, you know, cook with that oil. But yeah, it's so cool to be able to cook with them, to access a totally different kind of flavor, and for the convenience too. Resources on, you know, on how to get those particular oils to people who don't yet have them in their lives.
Right. So awesome. I'm like just so psyched for you because it's so unique, especially because I feel like the way of the world now is becoming more holistic and people want to do more things organically, plant-based, vegan, gluten-free. It's just like, it's awesome.
Totally.
So let's talk more about your book. So what are three main takeaways if a reader sees your book cover? What do you want them to get out of the cookbook?
Yeah. So the first thing for sure will be on the safety and the different kinds of essential oils out there, which we just pretty much covered. So that would be the first thing I would say. The second would be that a plant-based lifestyle can be so incredibly flavorful and it can be so exciting. all of the recipes in the book are ones that I really believe in because of how versatile they are, how flavorful they are, how vibrant they are. So just to offer that to people who might think that a plant-based or a vegan diet is bland, this book will definitely prove them wrong. And then the last thing would just be to open their eyes and their mind. I mean, the photography in the book is gorgeous. A friend of mine was gracious enough to help me with the photos. She's a brilliant food stylist, kind of an amateur photographer at this point, but she did such a wonderful job. I'm so proud of her. And then we've got just other really great, you know, just photos of food as they are, as they should be, right? Like just vibrant yellow lemons and really bright green leaves and all sorts of other things. So it's really a celebration of plants and of the things that are on this earth for us to eat as humans to survive and thrive, you know, and to leave a better world behind for our future generations. So I'm hoping that it inspires people, yeah, to kind of shift some things that they might be doing in personal practice. That's
how I was going to say too, to prolong living, right? Because if you're eating more plant-based things, I mean, it would definitely, I would assume, help you live longer, you know?
Totally.
So awesome. So now that it launched, how can people get the book? And obviously it's in print, and it's digital too, right? Is it both?
It's only in print for now. I personally am not really a fan of electronic cookbooks. I really want people to have this in their home it's, like I said, it's like very colorful. I almost see it as kind of a smaller version of like a coffee table book.
Totally.
Yeah, so they can get it. The Amazon link will be live, I think, by the time this airs. So they can search for it on Amazon. They can buy it on my website, laurendagostino.com/EO, E for elephant, O for Oliver, -cookbook. And they can learn more about the particular oils there. They can access all other sorts of resources. There's a cookbook bonus that they can get by joining me online on the newsletter for additional recipes and just a handy cheat sheet for when they're learning how to cook with the oils in their kitchen. So it'll just be, you know, order online, ship to the house.
So exciting. That's all people need to know. They just need it in their house. I like have to say, so like speaking from somebody that has a print magazine, it's like, I totally understand the importance of having something physical to touch.
Yeah.
Like that's the way of the world. Like you need, like print was always something you can touch. And I feel like at some capacity that always needs to stick. So I am all for the print. All
Yay.
For it. Love it. So awesome. So now tell us, you know, outside of your book and now that it's launched, what are some goals you have for yourself as a new author, also as a private chef, consulting with, you know, businesses? What are some goals you have with that?
Yeah, so the cookbook tour begins next week, kind of focusing on some local places to host events for now. So I've got a number of events coming up in February, a great big launch party happening here where I live in Westford at Vita Therapia, which is also in Westford, on Sunday, February 9th. We'll celebrate the book, toast with clean crafted wine. I'll serve some samples, give a little talk, and sign books, of course. So there'll be a number of other events, kind of smaller events throughout New England, you know, with various friends who have, you know, a yoga studio or a wellness center or someplace where they have a community of people who will love this book. I've got a cooking demo also at the end of February at Boston Public Market at the kitchen there, which I'm excited about.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And then some more types of those things probably we'll plan for March. And then for the rest of 2020 and then kind of going forward as Chef Lauren, who is the high vibe plant-based vegan chef, I'm working on signing up some more retreats. So for those spiritual entrepreneurs and wellness coaches and you know, meditation leaders, business coaches, creativity coaches, for any retreat that they are planning, and if they're in need of a chef, I am able to be booked, willing to travel. And so what I bring to those experiences is a lot of energy around the high vibrational food that really goes to support someone who's developing a yoga practice or people who are experiencing healing through Reiki or, you know, really just spending a lot of brain power on some business mastermind type of stuff or really opening a creative outlet. And you really need your food to support you in that. And the best way to do that is by eating food that's natural, that's plant-based, that's refined sugar-free, you know, that's supportive of a healthy life. And not only that, but also the food that is prepared should be prepared by someone who maintains that vibration of gratitude and joy and love, because it's so true that that energy transfers from whoever is preparing it into the food. And I think for a lot of kitchens, a lot of restaurants, for example, you know, a traditional image of a chef invokes this picture of like someone who's really stressed out and yelling and, you know, is angry or hostile or whatever. And that's translated into the food. So I'm huge on using food as self-care and just as an opportunity to really infuse love and healing energy, you know, from the act of cooking and then into to sitting down to a mindful meal.
Right. Oh my God. I'm so inspired. I love it all.
Yeah,
I am. I'm loving the retreat stuff. I'm seriously like with some of the people I work with, I'm definitely funneling you to them for sure.
Oh, fantastic. There's some awesome
collaborations going on.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. So now let's play some game time. There's no like time limit. You have to answer them. This is really fun for all of us to get to know you outside of your super fun career. So question number one, what is your favorite meal?
Favorite meal would have to be banana ice cream. I used to eat ice cream every single day as a kid after school, and I would come home and watch the Food Network and eat my big bowl of ice cream with sprinkles. And then, you know, would go do my homework, after that. And so that was really something that I missed, when I kind of realized that dairy wasn't working for me. So now to recreate the experience of eating ice cream, but using whole fruits like banana and other berries, and then superfoods like cacao nibs and goji berries and toasted coconuts, like it's the coolest ever. So that's my favorite plant-based food.
I need it. Is this in the cookbook? Is this in the cookbook?
Yeah, there's a couple recipes for, I think, a creamsicle ice cream and mint chocolate chip.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I am an ice cream guru myself. So like I always need something like that, and to have a healthy option is great. So I will be making those things, and I'll be keeping you posted when I get my book.
Yes.
So awesome. Okay. What is Lauren's favorite TV guilty pleasure?
So I lately have been obsessed with Tiny House Nation.
I know that. That's just on TLC, right?
Yeah, I don't know what. I think I just have been binging it on Netflix. There's just a couple seasons out there, but I love it because I am, you know, we talked about the retreat chefing, and I'm really incorporating this element of travel into my business because it feels like something that I'm really craving on a personal level. So I'm exploring the idea of really paring down and getting things in a mobile sort of situation, whether it's, you know, an actual tiny home or an Airstream, or I'm not really sure yet, but I just love to watch it for inspiration and just to see all the cool things that people are able to do when they downsize and live that minimal lifestyle. I think it looks so freeing.
Yeah. So freeing. Freaking awesome. Love it. Okay. What is your favorite essential oil and what do you use it for?
Okay. The favorite one, I think I'm going to go with, it's either ginger or rosemary. And here's why. The ginger is so versatile and the flavor is identical. And with most of the essential oils, I would say that's true. Some of them, however, like basil, is a little bit more floral than fresh basil leaves. And things like citrus oil, because they come from the peel of the fruit, don't contain that citric acid. So they're simply going to impart a more lemony flavor or a more grapefruity flavor, but they won't actually deliver on the pucker. But I love ginger because it's so similar to kind of that like fiery element of fresh ginger or fresh ginger juice. If you ever have shots of that, like if you're sick or something. So ginger oil is for sure one of my most used and most loved oils. And then also rosemary, because it gives you such great flavor that you don't often achieve with dried rosemary or even the fresh rosemary. Like it's kind of sticky to work with the fresh, So the oil has been great, and I love to add it to popcorn or to like a marinade for portobello mushrooms, and then it's like way better than any steak you could find. So those two would be my favorite. Yeah.
Oh my God, you're coming up with such fun ideas. I'm sure people will use these tips beyond this episode.
Yeah, and these are all, those recipes are in the book. So.
Love it. So awesome. Okay. If you could spend a day with anybody dead or alive that you haven't met yet, who would it be and why?
Okay. My dead person, I think, would have to be Julia Childs.
Oh, of course. She's
Right. Yeah, she just is fantastic. And then alive person, I would say Chef Chloe Coscarelli. She's been super inspirational, and I think she just looks like so much fun. I think that we would get along very well. you know, being that I also have kind of that fun attitude about veganism and the plant-based life. So it'd be super cool to hang out with either of.
Okay. And I have another question for you. Where is a favorite destination you've been to thus far? And where's a bucket list destination you want to go to?
Ooh. Okay. I'll go with the bucket list destination first. I would love to make it to Spain. There are a couple of great retreats that happen in Spain that I would love to cook for. But in particular, there's one called the Holistic Chef Academy where you can go and chefs can go and take a retreat. So I would love...
That's fun.
Yeah, I would love to go and visit there. And then favorite places that I have been, we went to Alaska once on a cruise. That was pretty awesome. And Hawaii as well on a cruise. So those are two great ways to experience two states that obviously are far from where we are in Massachusetts, but, you know, but really I think that are very beautiful and accessible.
Well, Lauren, you're so awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. Can you tell everybody your website, how they can inquire anything with you and all your social media channels?
Yeah. So my website is laurendagostino.com. And there's all sorts of information on there, more on my philosophy as a chef and on plant-based high vibe living, information on any upcoming retreats, essential oils, the clean crafted wine I mentioned. And then they can join me on Facebook or Instagram at Chef Lauren D'Agostino. Yeah, that's pretty much how people can find me. The book is available on Amazon. If you just search my name, Lauren D'Agostino, they'll be able to find it. Yeah.
Perfect. And then your upcoming cookbook tour, that's on your website too?
It is. Yep.
Awesome. Yay. Well, everybody definitely needs to stay up to date with all of Lauren's stuff. She's doing amazing things. Thank you again, Lauren, so much for coming on today. Be sure to follow her on all her social media channels and stay tuned for who's next on Scene.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.